and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Kaliki Maka, and welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, not speaking Hawaiian to you, but just saying belated Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy New Year coming up, because this is our last live show of the year. We have already recorded our show for next week, which is going to be very special.
It is. But we do have a lot of news this week, and I'm going to take my silly hat off but just to help get us started. In the top of the news, the out mayor of Long Beach, California, has declared for Congress. And and also an out gay ambassador was affirmed this week. But we'll get to that in the news.
We will. New York State's Gender Recognition Act has gone into effect.
A win in the courts. A wedding photographer in upstate New York lost the right to advertise herself as anti-LGBT.
Yeah, but don't think she and her henchmen are giving up. Another teacher, a kindergarten teacher in Wisconsin, suspended for having a rainbow flag in her classroom.
She's defiant. We mourn the loss of a great transgender journalist who we know, Rebecca Juro.
And several other sad deaths to tell you about. But good news, the richest man in Utah is leaving the Mormon Church over its treatment of LGBTQ people and donating big time to Equality Utah.
In Taiwan this past year, a gay-themed film was number one.
We're very popular. The FDA has approved the first long-acting injectable form of PrEP.
Real Housewives is going to have the wife of Martina Navratilova as one of its contestants in Miami. Contestants? Panelists, what do you call them? Cast members.
Cast members. They are not contestants. It's real life, Andy. They're just living their lives.
Okay.
And Coming Out Colton on Netflix reunites out gay men who played in the NFL, which is actually quite moving. We'll talk more about that later in the show.
All right. Well, let's start off with...
the mayor of Long Beach. Now, last week we showed you a campaign video for Becca Ballant, who is an out lesbian who is running for Congress from the state of Vermont. And so we've decided now we'll make this a tradition as people announce their candidacies for Congress for next year. If they have semi-appealing campaign videos, we'll show them to you. So this will be Mayor Robert Garcia of Long Beach, California. You've heard about him for some time, Latino immigrant. His mom and stepdad died of COVID. He's gotten very high marks for his handling of the epidemic in Long Beach.
Immediately endorsed by Billie Jean King, who is originally from Long Beach.
And by Equality California and the Victory Fund and others. So here's a little 2.5 minute introduction to Mayor Robert Garcia of Long Beach, California, as he announces for Congress.
My mom is with me everywhere I go. Her determination, her compassion, her dedication to her family and community. She brought me to this country and risked everything so that I could become an American. She didn't just accept me for who I am. She made me who I am today.
A number of firsts for the city of Long Beach.
Residents there elected their first Latino and openly gay mayor.
Like so many here in Long Beach, my journey doesn't just belong to me. It's an American story of a parent's courage, a community's strength, and like too many families, it's a story of unthinkable loss.
The mayor of Long Beach says his mother has passed away due to complications from COVID-19. She was only 61 years old.
After we lost my mom, I made a promise that I would work harder than ever to make sure other families didn't experience the same pain.
Long Beach Mayor Robert Garcia is becoming known as the leader who's doing things right.
Long Beach is taking the lead in Southern California when it comes to vaccinations.
In Long Beach, we took action. We protected each other. So when politicians who chant America first watch this virus tear through our country, vilifying the very people like my mom who came here for a better life, who've given everything to America, that doesn't fly with me. I love Long Beach, and I love this country. In this community, we practice our patriotism at vaccine clinics and food banks. People from every race and walk of life coming together to help each other. My mom came here never doubting that America was a place where her immigrant son could succeed. And that's why today I'm fighting for every kid to get the same shot that this country gave me. I'm running for Congress, and I carry my mother with me.
Well, having seen a couple of these now, I get the Democratic theme. We're all in this together.
And we love our mothers. Richie Torres talks about that all the time. He was profiled on CBS Sunday Morning a couple of weeks ago. And that's most of what he talked about, is how his mother got him through everything.
And Equality California is also celebrating the fact this week that in redrawing the district maps in California, the LGBTQ communities across the state have been taken into consideration and consolidated electorally in ways that should give us more power in various national and state elections.
Great.
So that's something to keep an eye on.
All right. Most of what you read about the U.S. Senate is that they can't get the Build Back Better bill through. More on that later, but they did confirm out gay career diplomat Christopher Lamora as ambassador to Cameroon. We have a picture of him. He is, well, of course, in Cameroon, homosexuality is illegal. He had been the deputy chief of mission in Ghana. LGBTQ rights attorney in Cameroon, Alice Nikom, hailed the appointment. Incredible. We love you, President Biden. Welcome, Ambassador Lamora, to Cameroon, land of tolerance, hospitality, and brotherhood. But a Catholic priest there urged the Cameroon government to refuse to accept Lamora, citing the way Pope Francis in 2015 refused to accept an out gay ambassador from France. Lamora, in his hearing, cited the challenges in Cameroon, where security forces and separatist groups have been violently clashing, and he said there's substantial work to be done to promote democracy and human rights. That could also be said of the United States, of course, these days. But he did thank his husband, Eric. Biden has made a record number of LGBTQ appointments.
Is it wrong of me to cringe just a little at the white guy going to Cameroon?
Yes. I mean, I think it's better to have, well, since we are such a diverse country, to have people who line up with the nation that they're going to. I mean, but
I think it'd be a little more respectful, but it's nice that they're sending an out gay ambassador to a country where homosexuality is illegal.
Now, by the way, we are all mad at Joe Manchin for holding up, keeping the filibuster and blocking the Build Back Better Act, rightly so. But you do not want to push him into the Republican Party, making Mitch McConnell the majority leader and stopping all Democratic legislation and all judges and all other presidential appointments. Folks, we're coming into 2022. If you want to make a difference, you want to make Joe Manchin irrelevant, you've got to elect more Democratic senators. You've got to flip seats in Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Wisconsin. There may be others.
And all of which are doable.
And you got to hold on to all the others, which are tough. Yes. Arizona, Georgia, New Hampshire will be close. So, and there may be others. So, you know, focus on that instead of hating on Joe Manchin, who we're never going to turn around. Beyond that, the Senate unanimously passed the Youth Suicide Prevention Bill this week. It is not gay specific, but it does devote all kinds of resources to schools, grades 6 through 12, for suicide prevention and what they call on an evidence-based basis, which better include us.
And the Senate did, in a deal with Ted Cruz, confirm 40 federal judges this year, a very, very diverse crowd, and more, the same number of federal judges that Reagan got confirmed, and those are the top numbers for any president.
And then again, if the Republicans take back the Senate next year, no more judges. They will not confirm anyone.
Correct. No one. And believe me, that holds up a lot already.
And have said so. All right.
And we're on various email lists and groups. And the latest talk this week has been all about what are we going to do when the violent insurrection takes place? Now they're talking about, do you have any guns? I'm hoping it does not come to that. But one hopeful sign is that non-religious people now outnumber evangelicals in this country. I'd like to take that as a signpost that we haven't lost yet.
But we live under a system where, take this the right way, the minority rules in the Republican Party, and we have to turn that around. But people really better get prepared. I don't know exactly to tell them how to get prepared, other than to, you know, even in the states where you have these Republican legislatures, we're going to have to be out on the streets, frankly, to do anything.
A couple of crazy things in this category. A Republican candidate for governor in Colorado, Danielle Neuschwanger, decided she was going to promote her campaign by saying Governor Jared Polis, who is running for reelection, is not really gay. He just lied about being gay to get elected and conducted a sham marriage with his husband.
And the leader of in Colorado, the leader of a fascist political group in Colorado, FEC United, Joe Altman, called for the mass execution of political traitors, and he included out Governor Jared Polis. A Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Eli Bremmer, denounced Altman, a risky move in today's Republican Party.
Exactly.
Where there is plenty of room for murderous violence. But Altman wants to build gallows all over the country to keep an eye out for this guy. FEC stands for Faith, Education, and Commerce. Who could be against that?
In case you were worried about the future employment possibilities of Rick Grenell, the out gay monster who worked for Trump, he has now been hired by Newsmax, network to the right of Fox News, who have hired him as their national security contributor and executive for international partnerships.
They're abandoning traditional values of marginal.
Well, I think international partnerships will be with Viktor Orban and President right. Bolsonaro of Brazil. But nice news. You remember the freedom marches that they've been holding every year in Washington? They keep claiming that, you know, thousands of people will show up to promote conversion therapy and do other anti-LGBTQ stuff. And then 20 people show up and they claim that it was bigger. Well, the guy who's been running those, Jeffrey McCall, has now admitted to engaging in lots of gay sex.
God. It doesn't seem to make any difference.
No.
A wedding photographer in Elmira, New York, she demanded a religious exemption from our state's non-discrimination law, arguing it's against her religious beliefs to work for same-sex couples or vampires. That's, the Alliance Defending Freedom filed her suit. No one had filed a claim against her. Whenever she got requests from gay couples, she just didn't answer them.
Ignored them. Seven requests, no answer. But, and this is, you know, this is part of ADF's ongoing campaign to try to establish these religious exemptions. They are in every state and going to the Supreme Court and everything. They are heavily funded and they are not giving up on any of this.
Well, if you can make
but
it.
They threw in the vampire thing, so they couldn't be accused of just being anti-LGBTQ. Right. But I guess, and they're going to appeal this. They're not going to settle for this decision from this judge who just threw them out of court and said, this is ridiculous.
What he said was, Judge Frank Garacci, he said, upholding her claim would relegate gay couples to an inferior market enjoyed by the public at large. And Tish James, our attorney general, defended the state law. And yes, they are appealing on behalf of Emily Carpenter, her name is, to the Second Circuit.
So I guess Representative Chris Pappas of New Hampshire should not be looking to her to take his wedding photos. He has announced his engagement to his boyfriend, Van Bentley. There's the happy couple in their engagement announcement. Congratulations to them. Chris is the out gay member of Congress from New Hampshire, and this is great news.
And Chris is being opposed in 2022 by a woman who believes that Trump won the election.
Well, don't they all?
No, they don't all say that.
Well, they all claim that. They may not all believe it.
67% of them.
And congratulations to New Jersey, where the legislature has gone ahead and passed a marriage equality law in anticipation of the Supreme Court overturning its previous decisions legalizing same-sex marriage. The votes in the New Jersey legislature were not unanimous, but they were pretty overwhelming. There were only a few people in each house who
35-4 and 53-10 in the House. And the state Senate president, Steve Sweeney, apologized for abstaining on it in 2010, as did some of the others who had voted against it back then.
Well, good.
All right. In Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
Excuse me.
You are excused.
Waukesha, a kindergarten teacher, was suspended for refusing to take down a pride flag in her classroom. Sarah Whaley got support from students and staff who wore rainbow colors to school in protest. The district calls the flag political and banned it in August along with staff diversity training.
Yes.
And they ended the district equity leadership team, which is one of the reasons Whaley chose to work in the district. So she's contesting her suspension and won't stop making sure all students know they belong. After returning, she hung up a rainbow sign to replace the flag. And she said, you know, kids, the district liked the flag so much, they took it. They borrowed it.
But the sign said,
the truth remains, you belong, you are loved, you are supported, you are welcome, you are important, you are beautiful, you matter.
It's just constantly astonishing to me that state after state after state has this division within it. I mean, Wisconsin is a state that its two senators are Ron Johnson, who is a
monster
and a maniac, and Tammy Baldwin, the first out lesbian in the United States Senate. And she's been elected time after time after time, and so has Ron Johnson. They have a very, very divided situation, as do other states, but Wisconsin is a particular conundrum.
Since we're talking about young children, I'm going to wrap something I was going to bring up later, but it reminds me of the New Jersey Devils NHL hockey star, Curtis Gabriel, the Angel Gabriel, 28 years old. He has been skating with a hockey stick wrapped in rainbow colors for a while. But when he read about that case we talked about a couple of weeks ago, 12-year-old Eli Fitchley, who was bullied to death, to suicide, by Christian kids who said, "You are going to hell." Kids would not let up about this. You're going to hell.
Tennessee kid, right?
Well, anyway, he wrote that religious condemnations are killing our kids. And he said, "Would you keep your beliefs and be okay with your child's suicide?" No, 99% of you wouldn't. It should be 100, he said. But you would go against your beliefs in an instant to be there for your kids if you thought they were going to take their own lives. So stop with the condemnations.
I wonder about that. I wonder how many of these parents would actually change their beliefs or go against their beliefs to save their kid's life. There are a lot of, you know, think of all these parents who throw their kids out, who tell them they're going to hell, who tell them they'd be better off dead. I don't have confidence that 99% of parents who condemn homosexuality would change in order to save their kids' lives.
Well, we hear about honor killings all over the world over this and just, you know, a lot of things women do. So
I really, you know, I appreciate his sentiment. I hope he convinces some parents, but I'm more cynical about this. And look, back in Tennessee, in Lakeland, Tennessee, parents are freaking out over a GSA in the local middle school. They are going to great lengths to block it and stop it. They're showing up at meetings and ranting and raving, and they're just, you know, sex in school. And
don't they know the law?
No, they don't. And the school will win. The school has said, "We are taking, you know, we're consulting with our lawyers about this. We know there have been dozens of decisions supporting these things." They've told the parents that if they veto this club, it gets rid of every single other club in the school because that's the court decision.
I'm not exaggerating. It reminds me of the Salem witch trials, the hysteria over so many of
them. Well, that's the point. It is hysteria. And that's why I'm not confident that these parents are thinking rationally.
Well, I don't even think it's hysteria. I think it's a political ploy, which is being fueled by, you know, the right wing plutocrats to keep Republicans in power. On the other hand, in Tennessee, a dad named Daniel Blevins posted a TikTok video some time ago offering to attend the weddings if your parents disapprove of your same-sex wedding. And he has now developed a network of 30,000 TikTok stand-in families, and they don't just go to weddings. They do all kinds of good deeds for LGBTQ people.
Nice. But in Wake County, North Carolina, which is Raleigh, North Carolina, the library there has removed the book Gender Queer, which is now at the top of everybody's list around the country, by Maya Kababe. It's a graphic novel and, you know, one parent complaint for the book being too sexy. And now it's been taken out of the library and is being examined and rejected by people in charge. And well, where is it?
They had to close the library for 3 days to go through all the books, didn't they?
Yes. I don't know if it was there or somewhere else, but this has become, you know, don't we have better things to do? No, we're now shutting down libraries and taking everybody's time in schools and libraries to respond to these insane complaints from parents.
It's cancel culture.
It is absolutely cancel culture.
In South Dakota, the wicked governor there, Kristi Noem, who once vetoed an anti-trans sports bill in the early days because she thought she was going to lose some sporting events, is now pushing a bill to prohibit trans girls and women from playing girls and women's sports in public schools. Of course, she does nothing for equity for girls in sport.
Well, that's not her audience.
All right. In Kansas City, Missouri Airport, Danny Carey, 60 years old, the drummer for the rock band called Tool, a heavy metal band that is what we have a picture of him, who has won 4 Grammys, was arrested for allegedly harassing someone while using an anti-gay slur. He could face 180 days in the slammer or a fine.
It just, you know, Danny, don't you have better things to do?
Yeah.
And then a terrible story out of Brooklyn, New York. On Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, Vito Bauza, 56 years old, killed his boyfriend of 20 years, Ernest Diaz, 40 years old, because evidently Diaz had this 20-year relationship with Vito. But at the same time, he also had a girlfriend with whom he had three kids. And Ernest announced that he was going to leave Vito and go with the girlfriend. So Vito killed him.
And a terrible story out of Chicago in Palmer Square. A young man and activist, Suraj Mahadeva, was shot dead, I guess it's now a week and a half ago, in the wee hours, on a Saturday, waiting outside a friend's house. He was a medical technician who in his spare time worked with kids with autism, the homeless, and promoting LGBTQ pride events. More than 100 friends and family gathered last Thursday for a memorial service at the center on Halsted, which is their city's LGBT center. In his last Instagram post, he wore a Mahatma Gandhi t-shirt that read, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." No arrests yet, and those with info, contact the Chicago police.
He was Sri Lankan and Filipino, absolutely beloved in his community, 26 years old. People don't know whether this was a random firing of a gun that was accidental or whether he was targeted or what. He was just standing on a doorstep and was shot dead. A great, great tragedy.
Okay. All right. Should we do other obituaries here?
Yes.
Well, trans journalist and activist Rebecca Juro has died at the age of 59 of complications from lung cancer. There she is on the Rebecca Juro show. She was a much beloved columnist at South Florida Gay News and a contributor to HuffPost. She was a former media correspondent for The Advocate and a columnist for the Windy City Times, and known for her mantra, "The T is not silent in LGBT."
She was fearless. She pulled no punches in interviewing people and asking tough questions and challenging people in power. And again, another beloved figure, Becky Juro, was notorious, famous, celebrated, honored. And this is a huge loss in the community. She was also famous for her unrelenting love of the New York Mets, who she never gave up on, no matter what.
Well, when she was younger, she was totally into punk rock, and that got her thrown out of the house by her mother. and she had to go live with her father in Manhattan, who was often absent and things. And she survived suicide attempts, but she discovered Leslie Feinberg's trans history book. And that started her on the road to self-acceptance. And she later said, "Suicide is never the answer. The answer is to change your life." And she sure did.
She did. And lived a jam-packed 59 years. We also lost singer-songwriter Blackberry at age 76 in Oakland, California. He was a legend whose music is archived in the Smithsonian. He did music for the famous film Tongues Untied, for Word Is Out, for Looking for Langston. Legendary.
Also, another very fierce character who stood up for himself all his life.
Yeah.
The feminist icon and trailblazer, Bell Hooks, lesbian herself, but she began writing Ain't I a Woman at 19. And next came Feminist Theory, From Margin to Center, in her quest to end sexist oppression. She taught at Yale, Oberlin, Berea College in Kentucky, and other institutions, and she lived in Greenwich Village. She wrote this quote, "I'm talking about queer as not about who you're having sex with. That can be a dimension of it, but queer as being about the self that is at odds with everything around it and has to invent and create and find a place to speak and thrive in order to live.
And that's because she did self-identify as queer. I remember when she came on the scene in the early second wave of feminist movement in the 70s or early 80s, and she was like a nuclear bomb dropped into the feminist movement because she was having none of it.
She took everybody on.
Oh, she certainly did. And she upset a lot of apple carts, as they say. But her whole mantra was love is the answer. And that is the way we have to approach life to deal with all these issues and with each other. And she was quite adamant about that. She won a Pulitzer for poetry. She was back at Berea in Kentucky. She did live in New York for a while, but she was back in Kentucky. I watched a conversation she had with Laverne Cox in 2014 at the New School. She taught at the New School, and so she brought in several people for these conversations in front of audiences of students and others. And she was not giving Laverne Cox an easy time either. You know, why are you adopting these overly feminine looks of this long straight hair and these high heels? And Orange is the New Black may not actually be a great portrayal of prison life. And Laverne was sort of taken aback, but held her own. But Belle had no hesitation about saying exactly what she said. In the Q&A session, students are asking Laverne questions. And in the middle of her answer, Belle Hooks says, that's enough. You're talking too much. Let's move on. It's pretty funny. You can look it up online, Bell Hooks and Laverne.
You send me a link and I'll put it in our email.
Okay.
We also want to note the death of Donald Cousins, C-O-Z-Z-E-N-S, 82, a Catholic priest and seminary director who wrote books about how the priesthood was predominantly gay men. And he didn't argue against ordaining gay men, but noted that the predominance could deter non-gay men from joining. Unlike the hierarchy, he didn't blame gays for the abuse scandals, but said it was more about unhealthy patterns of authority and power. He said celibacy for priests, which wasn't mandated until the 12th century, could eventually spell the end of the priesthood. He wrote several books, including Freeing Celibacy.
Well, he blamed a lot of the abuse scandal and the overrepresentation of gay men in the priesthood on the celibacy rules. And he was really, really against the celibacy rules.
And the Pope, by the way, this week called domestic abuse almost satanic and, of course, humiliating. He said it might help if he thought that women should be treated as equals and modeled that by opening up his job to them.
Well, that might get us started on a more equal footing. Yeah. But also in the realm of religion this week, we have Utah billionaire Jeff Green. He's a tech billionaire. And he made a very loud announcement about leaving the Mormon Church, calling it an organization that is actively doing harm in the world. We have no argument with that. And he donated $600,000 to Equality Utah, earmarking half of it for Brigham Young University LGBTQ students who are forced to leave because they're uncomfortable there or actually get kicked out, and establishing other scholarships for LGBTQ students.
Well, he went to BYU. He's not gay himself. And he also has vowed 90% of his $5.8 billion for philanthropy.
And of course, these Mormon church and the harm it causes issues are also playing out on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, in case you want to catch up with it there.
Yeah.
They talk about it. And one woman very prominently left the church, and now her brother has left the church, and they have a whole discussion. And none of these women adhere to the principles of the church.
Okay.
In New York State, the Gender Recognition Act passed this year has now taken effect. And what it will mean is much easier name changes for people in New York State, no longer having to go before a judge and provide all sorts of documentation.
And if you're wondering where that library was that had to take was closed for 3 days to look through all the books for objectionable content, it was Llano County, Texas. It's happening all over the state because and what they're looking for to keep away from kids are books about racism and LGBTQ issues. And a court in this case ordered the review.
And bell hooks, by the way, said that racism and homophobia are not equivalent, but are certainly linked in important ways and need to be discussed together and compared and worked on together.
And yes, and fought together.
Yes.
Yes, in the Rainbow Coalition.
And as I don't know about your lives, but I'm certainly finding in my life that events are being canceled right and left because of the fears of the new Omicron strain of COVID. And the NGLTF has just announced that it's Creating Change annual conference scheduled in mid-January in New Orleans is canceling its in-person events and is going totally online.
The newly elected mayor is not even going to have a big public ceremony because of this. And I hope that the current
mayor, Eric Adams, our New York City mayor, will not have his inauguration.
Eric Adams. And they better cancel the New Year's Eve thing. I mean,
Bill de Blasio is saying he's going to make a decision by Friday. We're taping on Wednesday. It sounds like he's trying to still have it with some kinds of rules, but there's no way if you have it that you're not going to have crowds packed together. So
because there are so many breakthrough infections, and you know, I'm triple vaccinated, but I'm very susceptible to this, and so I mean, look. I understand it's very nice to hear that South Africa, they're turning a corner on this, where we first heard about it. I don't want to get it. We'll do what we have to do.
Getting my booster this afternoon.
Congratulations. Shall we go into the international scene?
Yes, we shall.
So in Hungary, under the anti-LGBTQ law, which the leader Orbán put on the ballot as a constitutional amendment, booksellers are having to wrap up books in the store with LGBTQ content. One merchant says the wrappers draw more attention to the books and how more people are buying them.
It feels like we're pedaling backwards as fast as we can.
The editor of one of these books, which is called A Fairy Tale for Everyone, Baldassar Nagy, which has LGBTQ content, has received anonymous threats and says he plans to leave Hungary as soon as he can to have a life more dignified and fulfilling. Homophobic attacks have doubled there since last year. TV stations say they're going to defy the ban. Orbán's challenger in the April election, Peter Marquise, who says he is a traditional Catholic, but that he will scrap the anti-LGBT law if he's elected. Now, unlike in Russia, there is a strong LGBTQ movement visible in Hungary. They had 30,000 people at a Pride festival in Budapest in July. In Russia, they would crack that down immediately.
And that community in Hungary, the LGBTQ community, says that it is prepared to fight in these elections this coming year. They have both Orbán up for re-election and the referendum on an anti-LGBTQ law, and they're standing up for themselves.
I mean, the law's in place. Orbán wants to put it in the Constitution. In Russia, they just labeled another LGBTQ group as a foreign agent, this time the nonprofit MAYAK in the country's Far East. MAYAK is part of the Russian LGBTQ network, which was put on the list last month, and the designation requires them to register and to submit to audits.
And the international group ILGA, the used to be the International Lesbian and Gay Association, I think they've added some words to that, but they put out a new report talking about executions of LGBTQ people in Iran and Saudi Arabia by governments and by insurgent groups in Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and other places. If you're interested in getting the latest report on what's going on around the world, look up the ILGA report.
I'm looking at our name on the screen there, Gay USA, and that's been our brand for a long time. And we do put on our website your LGBTQ news source. Maybe we should have that there on there as well.
Yeah, we could. That could be our resolution for the new year.
Okay. In Taiwan, the gay-themed movie titled Your Name Engraved Herein from 2020 set records this year. Number one Taiwanese-produced movie of all-time number one gay movie released in Taiwan, and there's a lot of competition for that. And its music has been winning awards and has more than 50 million views online, and we will include a link to that song in our email.
Top-rated theme song. And we also, as you know, have been following Lewis Hamilton, seven-time champion Formula One race driver, and his pro-LGBTQ campaign as he has raced around the Middle East. But one of our viewers has pointed out he's not the only one doing it. We've mentioned some others, but preceding Hamilton was Sebastian Vettel, German four-time Formula One champ. There he is at a race, I think preceding Lewis, where he got reprimanded for wearing this same love rainbow-colored T-shirt. And others also protested at that race. It seems to be quite a movement among Formula One race car drivers.
Don't try this at the North Korean Grand Prix. Kim is executing people for watching K-pop videos, seven so far. Citizens were mobilized to watch the grisly scenes. Each one was put to death by nine shots from three soldiers. Families were forced to watch. Any media coming from South Korea is a capital offense to possess.
Wow. That's the first I've heard of that. That's terrible. Which makes my next thing a little mild because it's only one person. But now I'll do Mexico first. A trans woman, Sara Atenea, I'm totally butchering that pronunciation, 31 years old, murdered in Colima, Mexico. The 65th trans person identified as murdered this year in Mexico, second only to Brazil. The U.S. is third. And her body was found in what is known as a death row of people murdered in Mexico. This has to do with the drug trade. Sex workers get murdered, but it's epidemic in Mexico.
But in better news from Mexico, the state of Guanajuato opened marriage to same-sex couples on December 20th. The secretary of the government said they were acting on federal and state constitutions, Supreme Court rulings, and the United Nations International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And the state Congress has yet to act on it, so this secretary of the government took executive action.
You know, we spent a long time going through marriage legalization state by state in the United States a few years ago. I've run out of steam for following state by state in Mexico. But our friend Rex Walkner keeps sending out the bulletins. In Chile, very happy that the student activist Gabriel Boric has been elected president, age 35. Very progressive. Unsure whether he'll be able to get anything done in Chile, but this is a big win.
And same-sex marriage was much debated in this campaign because it just was enacted, and his opponent was very much against it. In India, state police in the state of Karnataka calling for applicants for men, women, and transgender. It's the first state to reserve public employment for transgender people, which is what we've been calling for. You want to make things better for them? Got to have some set-asides for them.
You'll hear more about that next week from our guest, Kiara St. James. But also in India, the High Court in Kerala ruled against conversion therapy and said that is unconstitutional. Cut it out.
That's great.
And then there's the sad story of the grandmother in Bristol, England, who violently harassed her gay neighbors. She's been sentenced to 4 months in prison.
She hurled slurs, hung homophobic posters, repeatedly blasted loud songs like Boom Boom Bye that called for the shooting of gay men in the head.
Well, we remember that from Jamaica.
At the trial, she showed no remorse and couldn't produce a diagnosis of mental illness, so she got sentenced to 20 months in prison. This couple, Dean Griffiths and Andrew Knight, they eventually had to move and seek therapy for the abuse. One of them said, "I've experienced forms of hate before, but never to this extent." And Bristol is a gay enclave in many respects.
Well, that's why they were there. All right, moving on to AIDS news. The FDA has approved a bi-monthly, which is every other month, injection of PrEP for prevention of HIV infection. They say it's only to prevent it transmitted sexually, not by IV drug use. But I think all that means is they didn't test it on IV drug users, so they can only officially approve it for people sexually active.
And this helps people who have trouble adhering to a daily pill.
And it's supposed to be more effective than the daily pill, but then there are also questions about access and who's going to be able to get this.
And cost.
$3,700
for a shot that covers 2 months, $3,700. Truvada, by the way, is down to $40 a month.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to be paying that $3,200.
$3,700.
But who has insurance and what that'll pay for. They're also working on even longer acting injections pills.
6 months.
Yeah. Even yearly. And the Williams Institute put out an interesting report. We've been following over time the criminalization of people with HIV. And they looked at Kentucky and 32 people arrested over the last 15 years for having HIV and being supposedly sexually active. 2/3 of those arrested were women. All but one were sex workers, not necessarily having sex, actually, but convicted because they were, you know, walking while HIV positive.
And a study of thousands in other health news of trans and non-binary youth at the University of California, San Diego, and the Trevor Project found that hormone therapy significantly lowered their risk for depression and suicide. Half of the trans participants said they were not getting gender-affirming hormone therapy, but wanted it. 36% were not interested. 14% were getting it. And those who were getting it were much less likely to report depression or suicide ideation. 40% lower for those under 18. 80% of those getting it had at least one supportive parent.
All right, entertainment news.
Coming out, Colton.
This is the former bachelor, the virgin bachelor, who then admitted finally that he was gay. It's a 6-part series on Netflix.
We're showing you a scene now where he meets with all the former out players, most of whom came out, of course, after they played in the NFL. You're talking about their Isera Tuolo, Dave Coppé from way back, and Michael Sam. And of course, he's with Gus Kenworthy in the middle there as well, who was his gay guide.
Yeah, I found it more engrossing than I expected to find it, but it's still a little discouraging to find someone who says nothing has changed. That's Colton's line.
Well, it's also kind of amazing because, you know, most of it is him just going around to everybody in his life and apparently live on camera telling them for the first time that he's gay. I mean,
yes, his parents are very loving and supportive. His old high school football coach, who sort of he doesn't really confront enough about the homophobia he faced in the locker room. So I would say at first I thought I wasn't going to have to watch this thing, that it would be too simplistic. I'm glad I did watch it. There were certainly moments, a lot of it's very interesting, but I didn't come out of it with an enormous affection for Colton. Okay. But I wish him well, but I wish he would educate himself a little more. He seems to be stuck in his own little bubble, and that I find discouraging.
Okay.
Christmas movies update.
All right.
Last year, we were looking at one of the first big gay couple Christmas movies, The Christmas House. Well, this year we have The Christmas House 2, with the same couple back, and a whole thing about a competition with decorating houses for Christmas. And it's gayer than ever. It's not bad. The Christmas House 2. And the new lesbian one, Under the Christmas Tree, which is kind of charming because it's 2 hours of overt flirting between these two women. And at one point, and the parents are totally on board. There's a harness joke in the middle of it. And at one point, the two girls are with one girl's family, and the father raises a toast to family love or something. And the daughter says, "No, I've got a better toast. To the lesbians."
Well,
so that's Under the Christmas Tree.
And not Christmas oriented. There's a new Amazon Prime series, With Love, a romantic comedy that includes LGBTQ characters. It's an intergenerational Latinx family where every episode is centered around a holiday. So Christmas is one of them.
Update on And Just Like That, episode 3. Suddenly the black people have disappeared. They've gone somewhere else for that week. But Miranda is smitten with Che, the non-binary character played by Sarah Ramirez.
Now, of course, in the first episode, we saw, and I'm you know, spoiler alert, you know, we saw Big dying of a heart attack. But Carrie, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker comes in while he's still dying. And a friend said, "Well, you know, after the accusations of rape against Chris Knott, now I understand why Carrie didn't call 911.
Cheap joke. Also, Charlotte's daughter has announced that she is gender nonconforming, which may be a more interesting storyline because the rest of it is all still a little too heavy-handed and simplistic.
HBO has renewed Anne's favorite show, We're Here, for a third season, which follows drag queens, Bob the Drag Queen, Eureka O'Hara, and Shangela.
No, Shangela. Shangela.
Shangela. Oh, like Angela Shangela. On their journeys across small town America, inspiring their drag daughters to express their genuine selves in front of their families, friends, and communities.
I think they ought to go international and go to Hungary and Saudi Arabia and places like that. Also, Jeopardy update. Yeah. Jeopardy update. Amy Schneider is still going strong. She's now won 15 weeks, I think.
And she announced on the show that her tattoo, which she's apparently not allowed to show on the program, is from the Wizard of Oz books, a character called Ozma of Oz. Princess Ozma was the rightful heir to Oz. She's not in the movie, but was kidnapped as a baby by a sorceress who enchanted her to become a boy. Eventually, the enchantment is lifted, and she's revealed to be a beautiful princess. She always was. And Amy said, "So it seemed like the perfect image to commemorate my transition."
That Amy, she's a very gentle activist who's winning hearts and minds across America. And over $500,000.
Yeah.
And how number is, four
all 600,000, I think, at this point.
I think she's still in the fives. I could be wrong, but she's the fourth all time. She's closing in on Ken Jennings.
And you are the Real Housewives fan. So tell us how Julia Lemigova, did I say that right? How's she going to do? Martina's wife.
I notice you're struggling over saying the Real Housewives. Well, there you have a picture of On the left, Julia Lemagova, and on the right, her wife, Martina Navratilova. Julia is one of the new cast members on The Real Housewives of Miami. Now, Bravo and most major media are touting this as the first out cast member overtly cast on one of the Real Housewives shows. The fact is there have been other lesbian or bisexual housewives. One came out on Orange County in the middle of a season. There was another who was, I think, housewives adjacent, a friend who was brought onto the show for a few episodes. And God knows there is so much homoerotic behavior among these women on all these shows across platforms. They flirt with each other endlessly. So to claim this as the first out lesbian housewife, I think, is only semi-relevant. Anyway, I would say Julia, who was cast in part because she is an old friend of one of the veteran cast members, Ariana, really doesn't fit in with this crowd. I mean, this is a very over the top, labels kind of crowd, and she is much more down to earth. She has a farm and raises chickens. Well,
she is a former Miss USSR in 1990, and was
the
second runner-up in the Miss Universe. Wasn't that Trump's contest?
Yeah, anyway, for a while.
She's
ambitious, or she wouldn't be on this show. She wants some kind of public notoriety, but
she wants to normalize how we live and show that love has no gender, she said.
Yeah, it's a little more personal than that, I think. Another cast member, Alexia, who is a veteran on Miami, they've just brought back Miami after an 8-year absence. We find her second husband was gay, and he died, and now his surviving boyfriend and Alexia, the widow, are going to meet to talk about this gay relationship that the husband had. The boyfriend is quite a hunk. We've seen pictures of him. And Salt Lake City's young gay son of one of the cast members, Brooks Marks, showed up on the Society page in the New York Times this week. So he's out and about and promoting himself. He's trying to become a fashion designer, but his line seems to have like one style that just gets repeated. Strange.
Okay. All right, we're down to our last 20 seconds. We want to remind you next week, we have Kiara St. James of the New York Transgender Advocacy Group. She's terrific. And Michelangelo Signorelli, veteran activist and journalist, talking about his bout with prostate cancer.
It's a great show. Extended conversations with both of them. See you.